flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610, Houston Texans breaking news.
All right, don't call it a Friday news dump. The Houston Texans have made some personnel changes. Your man, D'Amico Ryans, let you know on Monday that those changes, like they were going to take the week, and they did take, they took 4 to 5 business days.
He was accurate.
And on Friday, they let us know that the Houston Texans have parted ways with offensive coordinator Bobby Slowick, offensive line coach Chris Strasser, and assistant offensive line coach Cole Popovich. The big news of the day, Bobby Slowick is indeed out as offensive coordinator of these Houston Texans. And a lot of people on the text line, on the YouTube, on the Twitch, all of those are ways to feed in, have conversations about this. Really surprised. I think that's the prevailing kind of sentiment that I'm seeing first and foremost, is surprise that the Texans actually had that level of urgency, that level of, I don't know, commitment to being great, that they were like, look, man, that was not sufficient. Thank you, Bobby, for your 2 seasons of work here. However, we want to move in a different direction.
All right, so let's dig into how this happened, what it means, and what it means going forward, especially with personnel on the offensive line. But let's start right here. Long live the king is dead, long live the king. People immediately are going to be going, all right, who's up? What's the next offensive coordinator going to look like? Be very clear about this. This had to be one of the most, if not the most difficult football decisions that D'Amico Ryans ever made. When I say they were close, they were close. They were close. Bobby Slowick and D'Amico Ryans. So what that tells you is, obviously, they always say it, and it always comes true. This is a business, and he had to make a business decision. And they understand they have a quarterback on a rookie deal. They have very expensive offensive linemen. We'll see about what happens with there.
Yeah.
But they've got very expensive offensive linemen.
Yeah, and you did, and that's one of the things that I've been looking at. Yeah. Changes clearly need to happen on that offensive line. However, it's not going to be an easy situation. You have expensive offensive linemen that are also not they're not up for those deals to be over within the next year or two. You've got guys that are locked in, relatively locked in, which again, you can lay at the doorstep of Nick Caserio, but that is still the circumstance. In your favorite parlance, it is what it is in that regard. And so you have posited this in some ways in trying to kind of think around the circumstance of the coordinator decision of, is it either the offensive coordinator or the offensive line? And sometimes, I don't think it always has to be a binary, but if you were to view it as that right now, they chose, it's easy to move on from the offensive coordinator, offensive coordinator who had an offense that was promising that then regressed in year 2. You saw regression in some ways from your quarterback, and I feel like that probably all came out to, this is not sustainable. Plus, you saw them had to change the way that they ran the system. They literally moved away from Bobby's system and saw better results, including with that offensive line where they were able to block up to the second level and you were actually able to run the football on a Kansas City Chiefs team that admittedly has not been running stopping the run as well in the second part of the season. But again, that was one of the better performances, and I imagine that that's got to put in your mind somewhat Well, if we move away from Bobby and we find, or what Bobby wants to do, and we find a little bit of success with the guys that we've put in there, guys that I imagine they evaluated and felt had something, mm-hmm. and you find that they're doing better in a different system, I imagine that also probably factors in a little bit.
All right. So as this is happening, you know, immediately four things come to mind that I think are important for our listeners
all right,
to know.
Let's just go stream of consciousness.
Stream of consciousness. This is a personnel passing thoughts, if you will.
Hit the music, Figgy.
With a little bit. No, you don't need to do that. With a little bit of just, you know, not just observation, but just sort of insight on what's happening over there. I can tell you this. Let's start with the decision itself.
Okay.
And I'm not reporting this. I just, this has all the markings of Cal and Hannah. They picked their spots when they're going to go ahead and be intimately involved.
Yeah, we've given them a lot of credit for recognizing when to empower your people to do things.
Yes, that's number one. Cal and Hannah, they came in, they picked their spot when there were other head coaches that were being rumored and reported to come to Houston, and they picked their spot and said, no,
D'Amico's the man.
They said Miko.
So you think they have a say-so in this?
I think they have a say-so in this. And that's not like, oh, they hated him or, oh, now, this or that. I think they're feeling what I'm talking about. They're feeling this is our time, the whole rookie quarterback thing. We've got money invested, not just in the offensive line, but in the wide receiver position. Nico got a new deal. They want to sign Stephon. They got Joe Mixon.
There's
they
noise.
Got all these guys.
Right.
Of this course. Is our time. It's time for us to get involved in this type of decision.
Right. There's not just noise, not just from us, right?
Yeah.
Like not just the folks bloviating here on Sports Radio 610, but national outlets looking at this and saying, yo, this is a poorly schemed thing. There's instances where, oh, this is bad, this is whatever.
Yes.
Somebody on the text line very rightfully pointed out, JJ was criticizing blocking with the tight end.
Sure.
You know, in some of those instances in big time moments where you have a defensive end being picked up by only Dalton Schultz, right? Mm-hmm. This thing has gotten loud. Like, I think that there was a lot of people talking about this as well. And we know that they, not that they have rabbit ears per se, but that mm-hmm. they're also not completely immune to what is widely being talked about in the NFL world.
Here's another one that just immediately sort of passing thought on this. So I feel like Cal and Hannah, I'm not saying our way or the highway, but I feel they were deeply involved with Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans and had a say in this. I think they picked their spot and they picked this spot.
I can see that. I'm not. Okay.
Yeah. Number two. Everybody in that building knows what the relationships really are like with coordinators and players, coordinators and your franchise quarterback. C.J. Stroud has said nothing but good things about Bobby Slowick. I think C.J. Stroud really likes Bobby Slowick. I think there is a level of frustration that they know about. I think, I'm not reporting anything. I think there is a level of frustration that they know about. C.J., and I said this, I think Tuesday, yes, maybe Monday.
You weren't in Tuesday, remember?
Oh, that's right.
That's when you did five barrel rolls and you ended up in a ditch.
Must have been Wednesday. I said this week. You can just sense that CJ in year two, he deserves and has earned the right to have more say in how they're doing things offensively, what he's doing and the adjustments and things they're doing in game plans and in game management. So I'm not saying CJ went in there either and said, oh, he's got to go. No, I think they understand. CJ is his ass is out there. Like, he's got to have a better sort of back and forth with it's not my way or the highway. Let's talk about this, you know?
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Imagine uncovering the secrets that others missed. A hidden clue, silent witness, a twist that changes everything. I'm Carter Roy, host of Murder True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Join me every Tuesday as we dive into a famous solved or unsolved murder case. Follow and listen to Murder True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sure, yeah. Right? Yeah, I mean, CJ, at least he said the right things. If he had any level of different sentiment, I can't speak to that. Mm-hmm. But he said that, I mean, he pretty outrightly said that he would like to continue working with Bobby Slowick. So I'm wondering, like, what that dynamic is there. But I think there is some fairness to you would like to see him better integrated into the designs of what is happening here and what makes him most comfortable. Because I think you are, when you have a young quarterback, early on, you're trying to determine, is this our guy? Mm-hmm. That answer has been settled. He is the guy, and he is capable of doing it. Now, what can we do to best fit what he does? And it felt like, I think it's easy, the layman can look at this Texans team this past season and see, it didn't feel like you did enough to fit what he does well, and maybe you need to have something that is tailored better, not just to all of your talent, but specifically to your quarterback.
Number three that of my four passing thoughts that immediately I think are huge here. I still think offensive line decisions, tough decisions, are on the table. And one of the biggest reasons why, Reggie, I can't see DeMeco leaving this offensive system. He played defense for Kubiak, who had this offensive system and benefited from it. He played for Andy Reid, who has a version of this type of system. He went to San Francisco and was defensive coordinator, knows the Shanahan system, brought in Bobby Slowick specifically for this system. I'm not so sure that he's going to say, all right, we're going to go heavy, we're going to go big, we're going to double team the guards and tackles, and the defensive tackles and nose guards, and we're just going to change the way. I don't think that's necessarily the case.
And I think that the search might be somewhat similar to, and of course, like, with some more accounting for who you have personnel-wise, that's clearly one of the things that burns mm-hmm. you, is like, hey, making sure you match who you hire to what the job is. I think that that's still going to matter. But I think also some of this is like matching who is out there and who is the best available for what you're trying to do. And I mean, you might find a little synergy with, not that I've done all the digging on all the possible names, but I know that there's been a lot of buzz around Nick Cayley, who is one of the guys that was brought up in mm-hmm. various things, including the Jet search, right?
Yeah.
He is on Sean McVay's staff, obviously not coordinator and staff, you know, calling things there, but like, he's part of the passing game. And that is a dude, you know, that Sean McVay is in that same tree, like, that you're in that same vein. And he's a young, talented dude that is getting a lot of buzz. Like, maybe that's the type of name that you're talking about that can maybe bridge that gap that you're talking about. But also, I mean, if there's another young, talented coordinator out there, you think they would take themselves away from that just to stay with the system? I'm not certain that that's the case. I think that this is going to be a lot more dependent on what is out there available for you. But it's good that they're getting into the market to where now they can have those kind of evaluations of, yeah, is this guy, is it just on the system, or is this guy going to fit what we're trying to do and then get in here and be able to work his magic, or would be able to, you know, execute, as coming back to that word, execute
yeah.
what a vision for this team.
And number four,
we're not bringing Gary Kubiak as offensive coordinator. Let him rest.
I'm just saying the system, and that ties in with my other big thought here in terms of what has happened and how it might play out and what happened behind it. They're also related. They also fired Chris Strasser and
Cole Popovich, assistant
and Cole coach. Popovich, the assistant offensive line coach. Unless I'm missing something, we have not heard anything on Bill Lazor or Gerard Johnson. Keep an eye on those two guys.
Potential internal hires.
Yeah, keep an eye on those two guys.
That was going to be my next question. Yeah. Do you think they hire outside or they keep it in house?
I think they could obviously do either, but we haven't heard anything on those guys.
No, we have not. Yeah. And you can imagine, hey, do you clean the whole staff? And that was not what they did. They cleaned specific parts of the staff. That mm-hmm. You're right. That could possibly, you know, portend that you're going to have largely the same staff except for problem areas and hire from within to have some continuity. Going back to the Peyton Manning, what he was talking about yes. young quarterbacks and wanting to keep some level of continuity with what they're doing. Don't smile at me, show. Don't smile at me. I don't like what you're doing right now. Whatever you're doing right now, I don't even know what he's smiling about.
He wasn't
about
the biggest fan.
But whatever he's smiling at me about, I don't like it. But yeah, the leaving some continuity. Peyton Manning has talked about this. I think he was talking within the terms of Bryce Young, mm-hmm. right? And how he didn't want to see continual turnover, because with young guys, you want to have some familiarity and some continuity. That would be a way to have continuity either between Bill Lazor, who has been a offensive coordinator before.
Four times.
Not necessarily to a
Three
ton
times.
Of, not necessarily to a ton of repute, but, you know, mm-hmm. I think, boom, that is there. And then Gerard Johnson, who is clearly a hot name. He was involved in the hiring, you know, cycle last year. And this year, you've already seen his name come up.
Yeah.
At the very least with the Jets position, offensive coordinator position.
And I can tell you, Gerard, you know, I think most people know this, just from if you've been around this team at all, has a very good relationship with C.J. Stroud. Like, very, very good. So we'll see. I'm not saying either or, but I think it's telling that neither of these guys has been mentioned as being released.
Yeah, and maybe you find a way to keep both of them in somewhat positions mm-hmm. of
or maybe
elevation.
They're letting them play out, you know,
right?
Sort of. Yeah.
No, of course, play out. Yeah. I think that's an option. I think as you laid it out, you're very right. I think that is an option, and what you would do if you could find some level of marriage that works there is you would have a great connection with the quarterback, continuity, and a little bit of experience with Bill Lazor, although the question then that keeps coming back to, which is one that I asked earlier, which is, if you have some experience there, why did it not feel like it was showing up on the field? Like, those are the questions that I think you had for this team. Yes, Bobby takes the brunt of those, you know, of the responsibility for those, but I think that falls for the whole staff in some ways. Like, hey, why mm-hmm. are we not seeing some of those things implemented on game day if you do indeed have answers? I don't know, but we'll see. But ultimately, the biggest news of the day, we're starting here, right? We're starting with the fact that today, Friday, January 24th, Bobby Slowik, Cole Popovich, the assistant offensive line coach, and Chris Strasser, the head offensive line coach, were released, fired, I guess, in an indelicate way of saying it, from this Houston Texans staff. So that is what we're moving on from. Now it's time to cull together a short list or a long list of coaching candidates and go that way of seeing how you can get this offense back to the expectations, the heights that you had hoped when you put together a quote-unquote five-headed monster. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Somebody said they don't want to see promotions. We'll have plenty of time to talk about that.
Yeah, we will.
We'll take the weekend and really dive in, I imagine, in a big way. And next week, I imagine, now you're in the coaching cycle, right?
Mm-hmm. You're on the board.
You are on the board. Houston, Texas offensive coordinator is a job. Go ahead and get to Indeed.com or whatever to get you.
Just leave Chip Kelly out of this.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, you being selfish.
Yeah,
oh,
you damn right I'm being selfish.
You damn right I am.
I'm trying to take my players and coaches.
What did Chip Kelly do against Michigan? All right, coming up next, let's do our lunchtime confessions. We'll do it next.